What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own weekly Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, it's time to start breaking down this game against the Texans this weekend at home. There's a lot to talk about because we have two 1-1 teams who had some expectations going into the season. Both would like to be 2-0. Both could be 2-0 really at this point if a couple of things break differently, but they meet up this weekend and the Chargers go up against one of the young star quarterbacks in the league in Deshaun Watson. So we're going to be breaking that down today, but we're going to be starting with the news that Jalen Ramsey has requested a trade from the Jaguars. We've talked about this before he had even asked for a trade. We were talking about, you know, what if the Chargers could get in on Jalen Ramsey? He's had some pretty tumultuous moments so far with the Jaguars, including last weekend, him and head coach Doug Marrone getting into it on the sideline. So we'll start there and talk about if we would want Jalen Ramsey and what exactly we would give up. And then we're going to be getting into the breakdown of the game. We're going to do the keys to success. So we'll start with the defense and talk about what the Chargers need to do this week defensively, and then we'll wrap the show up with offense. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer to bring you the news of the day from Locked On Chargers. The news today is that Jalen Ramsey, the cornerback from the Jacksonville Jaguars, has requested a trade. The news came out this week. There's been some obvious tension between the Jaguars and their star cornerback, and now he is on the market, and it's only been a couple of days since this story has really gotten going, but the interest out there has been crazy so far. I mean, you've seen some really ridiculous trade scenarios be thrown out there. I mean, teams are offering more than a first-round pick for Jalen Ramsey, and for good reason, because whether or not you like his on the field or off the field antics or what comes along with such a good player, the talent is undeniable. He's one of the best corners in the league. He's a top five overall pick. And David, he's a guy that said that he wants to play with Derwin James. So when you see an opening like this and you think about the fact that Trevor Williams is on injured reserve, Michael Davis is hurt, and just overall, you've had a pretty weak cornerback group so far this season, the Chargers would have to be interested in that, right?
Absolutely. They should be interested in that. Now, is Tom Telesco, a general manager, has shown the ability or the want to make a move like that? No, definitely not. It's not a Telesco type of move. It should be. Jalen Ramsey is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. Like you mentioned, there's a current deficiency at cornerback. No slight to Brandon Faison, but if you can bring in a corner the caliber of Jalen Ramsey, you have to at least pick up that phone and see what it's going to take to get him done. If I'm the Chargers, I would absolutely offer a first-round pick. I would offer them Tyrod Taylor, and then I'd even throw in Melvin Gordon to try to get that deal done. I think they have to try to push all the chips in and try to give Phillip Rivers his best opportunity at winning a championship, and I think that includes Jalen Ramsey.
I will say that if you wanted to slight Brandon Faison, it would be justified by his play so far this season. I mean, you have an obvious weakness there in the secondary, and teams through two games have really targeted that weakness on your defense. So the latest reports are that the Chiefs, the Eagles are teams that are interested, and the 49ers have been another team that has popped up a lot when regarding this. The Seahawks are in conversation. We haven't heard a lot of buzz around the Chargers, but when you're talking about a player like this and a need like the Chargers have, it's obvious that the Chargers should want to get in that conversation, especially, David, when you see that the Chiefs, because Jalen Ramsey would be really good on the Chargers, but the last thing you want is a player like that going to your division rival, who is already one of the top, you know, three teams probably in the NFL and a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You can't have him go to the Chiefs. I mean, that's worst case scenario. We've heard that the first round picks have been thrown out there. You're saying you would throw in Tyrod Taylor. I don't think they would want Melvin Gordon. They have Leonard Fournette, and he's been up and down with them, but I just don't think that they're going to want to trade for a rental of Gordon. And I don't know if they would want to give him the money that he's looking for. So I don't think that he's going to be a trade asset to maybe get them involved. But at the same time, you never know. And Tyrod Taylor, I really like that because the Chargers could go and pick up a veteran quarterback to be their backup behind the NFL's Iron Man, who's played the most consecutive games in a row out of any NFL player. So you don't have a huge need at backup quarterback. Trade a first round pick and Tyrod Taylor. I would do that in a heartbeat, because what are the Chargers going to pick if you trade for him? You have a good record at the end of the season. That's late in the 20s, maybe. So I don't think that first round pick is as valuable as what you would get with Jalen Ramsey, who you would need a much higher pick than that to get. But as far as trading for Jalen Ramsey, if it potentially meant keeping him away from the Patriots or the Chiefs, I think that right there is incentive enough for Tom Telesco to want to get into the conversation.
Let alone Jalen Ramsey's obvious talent, but the last thing that you would want to see that would be absolute disaster is Jalen Ramsey in a Chiefs uniform or a Patriots uniform. Those are obviously your two biggest opponents, your two biggest beasts that you need to slay to get where you want to go, and they absolutely cannot have Jalen Ramsey go to either of those two teams. Even if it just means trading for him so they don't get him, I'm totally okay with that too, just because the byproduct would be great.
The obvious downsides are the character issues. He's also said that he wants to play pretty much only man coverage, which is not something the Chargers do a lot of. There's also some reports out there that say he wants to play a little bit of receiver too. So he's quite a character, Jalen Ramsey is, but I think right now the Patriots and the Chiefs are just totally on another level than the Chargers are right now. So to have him go to one of those two teams, you're right, that would be worst case scenario for the Chargers. But hey, he did say on Instagram Live that him and Derwin James will be together on the same team at some point in their career. So maybe there is still hope. But we do have to get into the next segment, talking about this game this weekend against the Texans, who actually just played Jalen Ramsey and the Jaguars. And that game, I mean, hopefully you guys didn't watch it, because I watched it because I had to watch it. And I'm telling you right now, you probably don't need to go watch that game. 13-12, Doug Marrone went for it. It was just, I mean, not a good football game. But I think we learned a lot about the Texans in that game and in the first two games of this season, specifically the fact that they give up a ton of sacks. Let's go ahead and get into the next segment. But first, I want to tell you guys that Mac Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. And you can get 20% off your first order when you go to macweldon.com and put the promo code locked on in at checkout, and you can get that 20% off. All right, guys, time to get into the next segment of the show, talking about the Chargers defense and what they need to do defensively this week to have success against the Texans. You're playing a dual threat quarterback in Deshaun Watson, who is an absolute playmaker out there. A couple of big name wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, and a little less Will Fuller, but Will Fuller is very talented and health has been the only thing that has held him back in his young career so far. But John, let's go ahead and get into this game specifically against the Texans and what you want to see from the Chargers defensively that you think will give them the best chance to be in this game.
It's got to be penetration on the defensive line. You've got to stop the run and get Deshaun Watson to be uncomfortable. He can run the ball. He can extend the plays. So if you can condense the pocket, make him feel the pressure and throw the ball before he wants to, I think that's going to be the key to this game. Don't let DeAndre Hopkins get free and have time to set up his route. DeAndre Hopkins can run routes kind of like Keenan Allen can. Not, he doesn't get off the line as fast as Keenan, but as far as being able to sell a route, to make a cut, to make you go one direction and then another, and then he's open, he can do all that stuff very well. But if you get to Deshaun Watson before Hopkins can finish his route, DeAndre Hopkins can become not a factor in the game.
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, has to be at the top of the list. But you're right as far as the defensive line getting penetration, causing havoc in the Houston Texans backfield. They did not do well with that last week when there was penetration. I think Deshaun Watson to this point in his career has never really had an offensive line. And he is going to break his feet down and start getting very uncomfortable in the pocket. He can still stand in there and make a throw if he has one, but if you get penetration early, especially up the middle, he's going to get uncomfortable and his feet are going to start moving. He's going to start panicking and you get a chance for a sack. I think they've had given up four sacks or more in eight straight games. That's ridiculous. That's the worst offensive line I've ever heard of. I mean, they've added some pieces. They added a couple of draft picks in Titus Howard and Max Sharping, which both were pretty risky picks and don't seem to be paying off. And they also traded the farm to get Kenny Stills and Laremy Tunsil, left tackle, from the Miami Dolphins. But it hasn't paid off for him so far this season. I think putting Deshaun Watson on the ground is an obvious key for success in this game. But if they can protect Deshaun Watson by running the ball, John, like you're talking about, they're going to do it as much as they possibly can, David. They're going to run it to protect themselves from the Chargers pass rush because they know Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are there. They're not taking it lightly that those two guys only have a combined 2 sacks so far this season. They're going to do whatever they can to not let those guys impact the game. But the other thing that comes along with that, John, is the defensive line keeping containment, because we all know what kind of athlete that Deshaun Watson is. The last thing you can do is let him get out of the pocket, extend plays with his legs, find receivers downfield, and target you there. But David, when you're thinking about what the Chargers defense has to do this weekend, what comes up in your mind?
I mean, for me, watching the first two games that the Texans played this year, they ran the ball a lot. I mean, the first game against the Saints, they ran for 180-plus yards. In the second game, they ran for 120-plus yards. So they're absolutely trying to establish the run in every game that they play. And I think, you know, in this last performance, Deshaun Watson wasn't that great. He missed a lot of throws. He's only about 50% completion. And I think there were some obvious tells in there, too. But I think they're absolutely going to try to run the ball. I think you want to stop the run. I think the Chargers did a great job of improving their run defense last week. Hopefully they can carry it over this week, stopping Carlos Hyde. I'm not entirely scared of Carlos Hyde, but he is a decent running back. If he gets going, he can definitely make some plays. But stop the run, make them one-dimensional, and make Deshaun Watson throw and get those pass rushers' ability to hit him. He has also showed a propensity to fumble the football. So definitely hit Deshaun Watson, but that starts with stopping the run.
Deshaun Watson will absolutely put the ball on the turf if you get him from behind, if you can just hit him hard enough. I mean, he's done it pretty much his whole career, so I think that's a key. And if you're a defensive lineman, yeah, get those hands in there. Don't just think about the sack. Think about the strip. Think about the game-changing play. But Carlos Hyde has been good. I mean, he went 20 for 90 last week. He averaged 8 yards a carry his first week. He's better looking than I thought he would be. But I think with him, if you can not let him get going like you're talking about, David, if you make him chop his feet behind the line of scrimmage and start making decisions, I think that's where he gets in trouble. But if he has a head of steam, that's where, I mean, the Chargers' tackling issues come into play. And, John, it wouldn't be a keys for success defensively if we didn't talk about the tackling. But in my opinion, I think if you're going to talk about improving the tackling, it can't just come from the same guys. I think that means you have to see some more Drew Tranquil on the field, or see any of Drew Tranquil on the field. I think Nazir Adderley on the field helps your tackling as well. But one thing's for sure, the Texans are going to try to put the ball in their best players' hands, and you're going to have to be able to tackle them, something the Chargers have really struggled at the first 2 weeks of the season.
They have struggled, and there's a guy named Duke Johnson who is good at catching the ball out of the backfield, who can make you miss and can run really well in space. So once you think you've had Deshaun Watson bottled up, or you think you got Carlos Hyde bottled up, they're going to throw that swing route to Duke Johnson. And if you don't tackle him, it's going to be like Johnson last week when he got that little bobble catch and took off running to the end zone. It's going to be the same kind of thing, but probably a lot more of it with the way the Texans run their offense. But there's guys like Will Fuller, who's a speedy guy. He's not that I'm going to run you over and break your tackle type of guy. He's the I'm so fast that your pursuit angle is going to be really bad. You're going to get one hand on me, and I'm going to keep on running past you. If you can't tackle the speedy guys, that's going to hurt you. If you can't tackle the power guys like Carlos Hyde, that's going to hurt you. And then if you get tired in this game from not tackling, DeAndre Hopkins will have a day. You saw in the Saints game, the Saints defense started getting a little bit tired, and DeAndre Hopkins was having some fun with them. He had over 100 yards against them. If you have tackled the right way and keep your defense fresh, I don't even think DeAndre Hopkins becomes a problem in this game unless you put Brandon Faison on him. But I'd have to imagine we're smart enough not to do that, right?
You would think so, but you never know. And I think that's another key for success in this game is if you have high leverage plays, you cannot leave Brandon Faison on an island to try to make a play to get your team off the field defensively. That has to be a key in this game. You cannot let them exploit that. your coaching staff should be able to work something out and see what the other teams have done to you the past couple of weeks and not let that happen, because it's such an obvious thing that everybody in the stadium knows they're going at Brandon Faison if they know anything, and somehow it still works. So I think that's another key. And I think when you're talking about trouble with Carlos Hyde and Will Fuller, it's different kind of trouble, because the trouble you get in with Carlos Hyde might not be a 60-yard touchdown, but it could be, hey, he gets four straight carries of 8-plus yards where he's just breaking three tackles at the line of scrimmage, and they're just gashing you defensively and wearing you out. When you're talking about Will Fuller, you're talking about a guy that can really just change the game on one play. If you throw a little screen to a wide receiver in Will Fuller and he breaks that first tackle, he could be gone. That's the type of playmaker he is. That's the type of speed that he has. He has had some drop issues, but when the ball is in his hands, when he's healthy, he's absolutely a dangerous weapon. So I think those are all key. I think the Chargers have a pretty difficult task this week as far as keeping Deshaun Watson contained, keeping the Houston Texans offense guessing with the type of defense you're playing, because we've seen too many times, guys, such easy passes for 7 yards, 8 yards, 10 yards. I mean, just really soft underneath coverage that really hurts you if you're the Chargers defense, because they're sometimes too willing to give up those 7 or 8 yards, and it puts them in precarious situations, especially when it gets to third down. But, and also, David, do you think that the guys like Drew Tranquil and Nazir Adderley need to get more time on the field? We obviously know Adrian Phillips is out now. He's on injured reserve, and the Chargers are going to have to fill in for him. And I think that's another key defensively to this game. And I think some of that could be Nazir Adderley, and it could also be Drew Tranquil, even though we're talking about two players at different positions.
Me personally, I'm always a person who wants the best, most talented football players on the field that can help you the most. And that means having Drew Tranquil around. I think I love the kid's instincts. I like his tackling ability. I like his physicality. I love Nazir Adderley's speed, his closing ability, his ball skills. These are guys that need to be on the football field. And I think, you know, in Nazir Adderley's case, you know, Coach Lynn said he's not quite ready because he missed a lot of time. I get that. But because of all the injuries at that position and in the secondary in general, I don't think you can wait many more games before you start putting a kid who has natural ability on the football field, a kid that can help you win games right now. And I think that that's the case for both Drew Tranquil and Nazir Adderley.
And Denzel Perryman was a full participant in practice, so you got to imagine he's going to be back too. So if we have him and Nazir Adderley and Drew Tranquil in this game, you have a guy stopping the run in Perryman, a guy helping in pass coverage and tackling in Tranquil, and a guy covering the deep pass with Adderley. That's a big improvement on your defense.
A huge improvement. Him and Jatavis Brown are both full participants this week. That's the first time this season. And another guy who's a full participant was Roger Teamer, because John stole what I was going to say. But Roger Teamer is another guy who's going to help you on special teams, undoubtedly. And, you know, maybe he can get some snaps even at corner or safety. He could be used at either one. I'm interested to see if he sniffs the field this week as an undrafted free agent. That's something to definitely look forward to. But great point on that. Denzel Perryman could be a huge help in the running game. And it would be nice to get some snaps for Thomas Davis not on the field. As much as I like him, he doesn't need to be on the field every play. There's other guys who fit better in certain situations. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about what the Chargers need to do offensively to have some success in this game, coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys, if you want to put some money down this weekend on any game, that you have to do it with MyBookie. That's where I place my bets. That's where John places his bets. And if you guys want to win some money this weekend, game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives will feel so much better. Running backs racing down the sideline will feel so much better, because you have some action on that game, and nothing raises the intensity of watching a football game than knowing that you have some money on it, or you're about to win some money on it. I know it's nice when your favorite team wins, but it feels even better when you're winning some money as well. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best, but they have the best, most creative bets, and I can give you guys some money right now if you want to play with MyBookie, because right now, if you join, MyBookie will double your first deposit. All you have to do is use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON at MyBookie.ag today. You put in $100, they'll give you a free $100 to bet with this weekend. Go on over to MyBookie, guys, this week and win some money. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, time for the final segment of the show today, talking about the Chargers offense. Obviously, the talking points this week have to do with the Chargers offense, because you're talking about an offense that only scored 10 points last week against the Lions. So we're going to need to see some major strides offensively this week by the Chargers. And I'll go ahead and start it off here, guys, with the keys for success offensively and talk about no specific player, but just talk about this. The Chargers need to cash in points when they have these long drives. The Chargers have been using up time on the clock, especially last game, and then failed to put points on the board. Obviously, if Michael Badgley's back this week, that helps a lot. But David, I'm really looking for the Chargers to excel more when they're getting closer to the end zone and putting 7 points on the board when they have the opportunity to, instead of letting these drives fizzle out and really taking the opposing defense off the hook.
Yeah, no, I like that key, Daniel, but I also want to, you know, be a little more specific. When we get in the red zone, I don't want to see Austin Ekeler get those carries inside the five anymore. I want those to go to Justin Jackson. I think he would just be a little bit better prepared to punch it in the end zone. I'm a little bit scared of the fumbles at this point. I think if they make that little switch, that will help tremendously. But you're absolutely right. The Chargers have to capitalize. They did a great job of staying on the field, but it's all for naught if they shoot themselves in the foot and don't punch it in the end zone and score points.
Absolutely. And it just always adds up and ends up being what costs you these games. I mean, all of these close Chargers losses, there's many points where you can see the Chargers failing to put points on the board when they have the opportunity to. And then that ends up being the difference in the game. I mean, you look at it last week, you missed 2 field goals that are, you know, chip shots, 41 yards and in, and you miss both of those, take 6 points off the board, and you lose by 3. I mean, the math is that easy sometimes. You also, you know, lose points when you're throwing interceptions in the end zone, but that's neither here nor there. The Chargers this week need to put points on the board, because I think that the Houston Texans can score points, even though they only put up 13 last week against a very good defense, I still think, in Jacksonville. They looked pretty good against the Saints as well. So, John, when you're talking about going up against this Houston Texans defense, what do you think the Chargers need to do to have success in this game?
I believe you got to attack the middle of the field. They have some pretty good corners in Jonathan Joseph and Bradley Roby, and their linebackers are not the greatest at pass coverage. So if you can maybe get one of the tight ends to start moving around a little bit, or maybe use the running back in the passing game in the middle, whether it be like a delayed hook route by Austin Ekeler, or even just throwing it to the outside on a screen, and then Ekeler runs back inside and catches the ball. Just stuff like that to attack the middle of the field and get the linebackers exposed. I think that'll help. You don't have to attack the good corners with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen in the beginning of the game, but eventually you'll have to start going towards it. But these guys aren't as good as Darius Slay. Jonathan Joseph used to be one of the top guys, but he's starting to decline. Bradley Roby can be pretty good man-to-man, but I don't think Keenan Allen is going to have any trouble with either of them. But eventually, J.J. Watt becomes a factor, and you're going to have to throw it quicker than Keenan Allen can get separation from those two guys, and that's going to be the tight ends over the middle. So Virgil Green, you're going to have to catch the ball. Sean Colkin, you got to become a factor at some point in your life. I don't know why you're on this roster just to watch the Jumbotron from the sideline, or just run a route and sitting in space next to a linebacker, shaking hands with him, having tea. Like, get open and catch a ball.
Is it messed up if I use a key for defense to be targeting Jahlil Adai if he's on the field? Is it too soon, guys, for that?
Never.
Go after him, yeah.
Well, I mean,
this points, but he's not on the field a lot. Usually,
he's their dime linebacker for the most part.
Yeah, usually it's just Deshaun Gibson and Justin Reed, and every now and then they'll bring him in. But if he's on, go after him. Do the same thing they're going to do with us with Brandon Faison. Go after the weak point.
And I think that when you're talking about this team, I think the middle of the field is where you want to target, even though I think you could have some individual matchup wins this weekend on the outside. I mean, Bradley Roby and Jonathan Joseph are good. I mean, they've had better times in their career, but there's a reason Bradley Roby's not with Denver anymore. And Joseph is getting up there in age. So I think that the Chargers could have success, but I think you target the safeties and the linebackers. You use those running backs like you have. But I'm worried about the offensive line, David, because they have a couple of guys. Obviously, the big one is J.J. Watt. No matter what he's done this season or not, J.J. Watt's still one of the premier defenders in the league. And another guy that stepped up really nicely in the absence of Jadeveon Clowney is Whitney Mercilus. He's been really good this year. 3 sacks in 2 games. He's been coming off the edge with intensity. And I think if you're the Chargers, you need to target more of the left side of that defense. You're talking about Scarlett and Blackson over there on the left side and not try to force it at J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus if you have time. I mean, if they're lining up on the same side, add extra protection to that side. Do whatever you have to do, because even without Jadeveon Clowney, which, I mean, is a huge plus for the Chargers, Jadeveon Clowney is a game wrecker, the Chargers are still going to need help on that offensive line, David, because they haven't gone up against the best defensive lines already, and we've seen them struggle. So I think that you have to find extra protection, especially against J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus.
I mean, obviously, those are the guys you cannot allow to beat you. And J.J. Watt was disruptive last week, but he wasn't particularly impactful. Whitney Mercilus, though, definitely picked up the slack and, you know, had a couple of nice blitzes. One of my keys is running behind a specific offensive lineman, and this might... this might definitely fool you guys, or you know, you'd be like, what is going on with David? But it's run behind Dan Feeney. Dan Feeney had an excellent game last week, and he actually has been pretty good so far this season. So not only do you run the ball, but you run it behind that left side and that center with Mike Pouncey and Dan Feeney. I think they worked really well together so far this season, and I think that's a continued recipe for success.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say it slowly. Dan Feeney was the highest graded offensive lineman in the NFL last week. Not the highest rated guard, not the highest rated Charger, the highest rated offensive lineman in the NFL with an elite grade of 90 plus. Where did that come from? How the hell should I know? I have no idea. But I think you have to be stoked on it. I mean, I think you have to be very excited that Dan Feeney has actually showed some improvement this year. He's been good in the run game. He didn't get, I think he gave up either 1 or 0 pressures last week when there was about 65 dropbacks. So Dan Feeney was excellent last week, and we all know you can't really trust the tackles, but if you're the Chargers offense, John, you have to run the ball. It's not a should you try to run the ball. You have to run the ball to be effective, and I think that there's ways the Chargers can keep staying effective running the football, and they're going to have another game this week where they're going to have to plan it a little bit differently and find ways to be successful on the ground.
Well, for what it's worth, the Texans defensive assistant coordinator and also outside linebackers coach is former Chargers defensive coordinator John Pagano. And we saw what he liked to do with the linebackers here. Mm-hmm. So I think if you can use that to your advantage, I think you can run the ball very well by figuring out the weakness of those outside linebackers. And when we had our outside linebackers, it was get the linebackers up the field and then run underneath them. And our outside run was always open. We had Jamal Williams, or if we had someone decent enough in the middle, we would have at least some type of stoppage in the middle, and you had to run outside. Linebacker comes up the field, whether it's Sean Phillips, whoever it was at the time, would come up the field and there'd be a nice little goal. So Austin Ekeler could see a lot of between guard and tackle runs this week, and it would work great with John Pagano's philosophy. But also, Romeo Crennel likes to be aggressive a lot of times with his play calling, and you can exploit that. If he decides to send a blitz, you can beat that. All you got to do is figure out which hole he likes to send it through the most, depending on the situation, whether it's 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 7 or whatever. You'll find what he likes to do in that situation, and you can exploit it, because he doesn't like to switch it up. He always likes to do the same exact things, but he's always had a pretty decent amount of talent to get away with it.
And they do some of what you see with the Patriots, you know, a bunch of guys standing up around the line of scrimmage. You don't know who's coming in and who's not. I would be interested to see if they want to blitz Phillip Rivers as much as they have in the last couple of games, just because, I mean, Phillip Rivers can pick you apart if you're blitzing him. I think Phillip Rivers will be able to get up to the line of scrimmage and identify the blitzes when they're coming, but that doesn't necessarily mean the offensive line is going to just pick it up just because they know it's coming. I mean, that would be foolish to think. But I'm interested to see how the Chargers offensive line deals with the blitz this week. They like to run stunts. They like to move guys around the line of scrimmage and cause confusion. And the Chargers have struggled overall in pass protection. But, I mean, especially when you're talking about stunts and guys crossing their face and not really knowing what to do and ending up not blocking anyone, the Chargers have done that several times. So that's something that scares me. But the Chargers, I think, are going to need to put up points in this game. So I think all of these keys are very important going into it, because I think it's going to be a dogfight this weekend against the Texans.
One more thing for Phillip Rivers is please do not stare down Keenan Allen. You did that way too much in the last game, and it was very predictable. Please go through your progressions and don't make it so obvious.
I mean, you wouldn't think you would want to stare down Keenan Allen when he is going up against the best corner on the team, but that's kind of how last week went. There was definitely times he stared him off, and you'd like to see him, you know, look off the safety like he would have last week and then throw it to Mike Williams, but that's not how it played out. Phillip Rivers hasn't had a lot of problems with that, but usually when he's getting careless, when he's trying to force the issue, he's looking for his guy Keenan Allen or whoever the security blanket is at the time. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow to give you our bold predictions and game predictions for this game. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcasts from, whether it's TuneIn or Google Podcasts. You can find the Locked On Chargers wherever you get them from. And if you guys want to get your thoughts on the next voicemail show, make sure to call into 323-524-7924. And I also want to say thank you. Thank you for all of the questions on Twitter. I forgot to shout you out, but Lewis Benzman, I thought it was a great question about Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins. And I thought about that when I gave my answer. I think that's a really good point. But if you guys want to keep those coming, we're definitely planning a mailbag show soon. So thank you guys for that. But we will be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.